Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on The Grape Talks, when the supernatural becomes natural, a conversation with Andy Coates. Growing up around paranormal activity made those very experiences almost normal for Andy Coates. In fact, it wasn't until many years later that Andy would discover that some of his childhood memories were filled with the supernatural and encounters that he could not explain. This would lead him on a journey into the universe of the undead and many more interactions with energies from beyond the grave. We hear his story today on The Grave Talks.
Well, I'd say as early back as I can remember. So I'll start off with my very first experience.
Okay.
That it's the first one I ever had. I still don't have any explanation for it. And I was probably about 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So where I grew up, it's on a housing estate. And there's all fields and everything at the back of the house. There's no lights. What's the word? No, it's really dark. There's okay. No lights interfering with the darkness.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Okay.
But just fields and fields and fields.
Yeah. So like countryside, that sort of darkness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty much. I grew up in the city.
Yeah.
But I was on the outskirts, so
okay.
It was like there was a golf course at the back. Playing fields, soccer pitch, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So anyway, the house that I grew up in, the bedrooms were at the back of the house. So I was laying in bed one day. I used to share a room with my brother, for whatever reason he wasn't in bed. And I was laying in bed. My bed was opposite the window that overlooked all these fields. And I was facing the wall, so my back was to the window. I just had a funny sensation. I looked up at the wall. The only way it's really weird. The only way I can describe it is, you know, on the old vinyl record players.
Yeah.
Would you ever notice when you got one playing and the light bounces off it and bounces up on a wall, it gives like a dancing effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing rotating round and round.
Yeah.
Like a spirally thing. There was one of them on the wall. Like, it was moving. It wasn't solid. And I was just laying in bed watching it. But there was no light interference coming through. Bedroom curtains were shut. The hallway or landing light was on, but that only come in under the door. Now, the door was at the bottom of my bed. So from where I was lay, there's no way that light could bounce back and bounce onto the wall. It was on the same wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that. And it's like, I've been looking on all different search engines on the net, and I've no idea where it is. But I did find a photo, something similar to it. I don't know how legit this photo is, but it's pretty much the same thing. And this photo was taken by someone walking down the street. So what I can do, I can forward you that image on if you want.
Sure. I mean, so this was something that... There's no source for the light, essentially, is what you're trying to figure out at that
pretty
moment
much.
In time.
Yeah, yeah, because I never slept with the bedroom light and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to know that there was a light on the other side of the wall, if you know what I mean.
So when you had this experience,
you're
wondering, you're inquisitive, you're curious. The next day... Do you talk about it with your parents or anything? What happens after that?
You know what? Never ever spoke about it to anybody. It just, whatever reason, and still don't know why, whether it's the way that my mindset, it just seemed normal to me. Even though I didn't know where it was, and I knew it wasn't what everyone else was experiencing, it just seemed like that's how it is for me.
So at that moment in time, it didn't feel ghostly, is what you're saying.
No.
It took till later in life to look back on and go, oh, wait a second.
Yeah, it didn't trigger anything like that. I never felt frightened by it, didn't feel threatened, anything like that. I was literally just laying in bed, looking at and just staring at it. There's no noise. Don't remember there being any smell or fragrance to it. And I was just, and the next thing, and I'm waking up the next morning. And that was the very first thing that I ever remember experiencing.
Isn't that interesting how, you know, a child mind will work, you know, to kind of keep us calm sometimes. And sometimes it'll freak out on some of the most simplest things that are totally explainable, that there's no need for panic. But sometimes when there's things like this, we just kind of go, okay. I didn't have the same sort of thing, but I had something around the same age when I was a child where I had a cat that had passed away. And on my bed at night, it used to sleep on the end. And there's a very specific feeling when a cat jumps on your bed, especially when it's doing its paw thing back and forth. You know what that is. And after this cat passed, for years, I would have this feeling at the end of my bed that it jumped up there. And I would like wake up and like kind of like, oh, hey. And I knew the cat wasn't there, but I just thought, oh, it's my mind. I'm just feeling it. But it would be there. But I never thought anything ghostly of it. And there was no cat there. And I knew there was no cat there. Yep. It actually took till doing my other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, years ago when we started it, and hearing some stories that were similar, that it triggered me going, wait a second, that wasn't normal. but sometimes it takes till adulthood to have those understandings. So you have something early on. That's bizarre, unexplainable. How does life progress for you and your interest in the paranormal?
Well, can I just jump forward regarding what you've just spoke about?
Yeah, sure.
So I've moved out. I've got married. I've got kids. And I end up going out one night with my friends, going drinking. And I went around the area that I grew up. Where I was living at the time was about 12 miles away. It was easy to go back to my mum's and then drive home the next day. So that's what I do. But this is in the other bedroom, which is now a spare bedroom. So I go stay there. Now, we had a dog, and the dog passed away when I was 22, 23. I'd only been left home about 2-3 years, and he was buried in the back garden. So anyway, this night, go and stay at my mum's. I get into bed. My legs were going and room was spinning a little bit.
Sure.
So I get in bed. It's only a small room. It's like a little box room sort of thing. It was like the spare room. So I get into bed. I'm laying there. Now, the dog, called Saber, he used to pant. And he'd walk up and down the side of the bed. So I can hear like, and him walking up and down. It was only a small, it was crossed between a Jack Russell and a Labrador. So, like a small Labrador. So, he wasn't a big dog, I'd say small to medium. So, he's walking up, I could hear him walking up and down the side of the bed. Then he'd jump up, same as you with the cat, jump up near my feet. He'd always walk around in circles twice and then drop down. And I sobered up in the blink of an eye, honestly. That frightened me, because he'd died about, I'd say at least 9 years previous to that. But as you look out that bedroom window, you could see the part of the garden where he was buried. But I just lay there, froze. I wouldn't look up. I didn't reach out, nothing. I was too frightened because I knew what and who it was. I just didn't want to see it. So Yeah, I know that's jumping forward quite
it's a relatable story. Yeah, you have the experience and it's like, okay.
Yeah, but that only ever happened the once.
Sure.
Even I'd stayed there a few times after that and previous to it, and nothing. It's just that one off. I think it is probably his way of saying that he's still there and he's okay.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I can put it down to.
When things like that happen, and we'll go backwards here in a moment, but yeah. When things like that happen with animals, and you said it happened once, mine happened repeatedly, it makes me wonder, you know, is that the conscious entity of the animal saying, hey, I'm here and still kind of doing its thing? Or is it the energy of that animal that, you know, maybe it does just repeat once as it did for you? And, you know, mine was just I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon, especially with pets.
Yeah.
I had another pet one I can throw in there too. Another cat that it was mine and my parents had adopted it later. And I was an adult at this time and the cat actually passed away about 5 years ago. I heard the story from them that a couple days after the cat passed, they could hear its claws on the floor of the kitchen, the hardwood floor of the kitchen. And not only that, but they also heard the cat coughing up a hairball. and the cat's dead. And I'm just thinking, that really sucks. If you're a cat and you're dead, you still get hairballs. I mean, at least get some sort of bonus about being dead that you don't have to deal with that's unpleasant. But
it's not a good one, is it, really?
No. That's the cat. Hairball cat. Yep. But anyway, let's go back a little bit further back to childhood after that initial experience. What other things happened to you in those formative years that continued to spark and nourish that interest?
Right. Well, the next one that I remember, and this is very vivid, like it happened this morning. So my mom, there was, in total, there was 10 of them. There's eight sisters and two brothers, so it's quite a big family. Now, I'm from Manchester, originally, in the northwest of England.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just outside London now, and I've been living down here about 14 years. But, so we'd gone over to my auntie's house, and it was like back in the day when Betamax video players.
Yes.
They didn't really take off in the UK.
They didn't take off anywhere.
But there's a select few people that had them, and you could get the movies on there that was just come out in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me and my cousin, we got sent upstairs because he was watching, I think it's Poltergeist.
Okay.
So I'm talking like late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Like early 80s. I don't know the exact year.
It was right around there. Yeah.
So in England, I don't know if you have them over there, but like the old terraced houses where it's just rows and rows of houses. So you go in, you got a long hallway, then you've got your front room, which no one uses. It's like all the good stuff goes in that room and no one's allowed to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the middle room, which is like the living area. Then you've got the kitchen, like right through the back. Then you've got a little backyard. Now, going upstairs in the house, I need to explain this so you get a better understanding of what goes on, how it all happened. So you go up the stairs, it's a narrow, steep staircase. So you go to the top. If you used to go straight forward, as though you walk into the back of the house, there's a bedroom at the back. So coming back toward the stairs, there's a bathroom. As though you're walking back to the stairs, there's a bathroom on the right-hand side. Now, if you turn right one step up, you've got the middle bedroom, and then walk forward on the landing, you've got the main master bedroom, which is above the front of the house, which is above the room that's not used sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my cousin, he was in his bedroom and was playing with Action Men and his toys and cars, like dinky toys and all that kind of stuff. Now, his granddad, so his dad's dad, he used to have to share a bedroom with him because he just lived there, and that was how it went on there. So there's two single beds and his toy box and like little TV, radio, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing in his room, and there's a bang on the bedroom door. And I looked at him and went, oh, it'll be someone going to the bathroom. Because as you walk up the stairs, you pass the door, but like you pass the bedroom that we're in to get to the bathroom. But there's a step up, and then it like opens up onto the landing a bit. So you step up, then another couple of steps to the door. So we ignored it. Anyway, it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of seconds, we opened it. There's no one there. He goes, oh, they ran off into one of the other rooms. And it was the old style door. So it was like a door knob, a little twisty handle. It was, wasn't a handle. It was a round old style door knob. And it had a little thumb latch, what you slid across to lock it.
Sure.
So we're in the room, still in the room playing, and the banging's getting louder. It was first, it was like, then it was like, boom, boom. I'm like, right, I'm getting scared now. And he goes, it's fine, honestly. He goes, when they do it again, we'll open the door. But as we said that, someone started turning the doorknob, but the thumb latch was slid, so it was locked, so it couldn't open. Anyway, whoever it was, let go of the doorknob. So we slowly slid it open. You couldn't see from the other side of the door whether it was locked or not. There's no indicator. Anyway, the next bang was the loudest bangs I've ever heard on a door in my life. Honestly. As the second bang hit the door, we both grabbed the door and opened it, expecting the person that was banging on the door to fall through, because that's how much force we were using. There was nobody there. I swear to God, from the top of them stairs to the bottom, I didn't touch any of them in the middle. Flew down there and didn't go around there for months. And there was no one about. Everyone was in the main room watching videos.
Now, how old are you at this time, roughly?
So I was born in 73, so I'd be about between 7 and 9.
Sure, right around there. So you hear this banging. That's, you know, could you see the door physically moving with a bang like that?
Not at first.
Like vibration?
As he got louder, you could.
Yeah.
And then when he was turning the doorknob, the door handle,
yeah,
we could see that. We could both witness it.
Yeah. So you go through this, and obviously there ends up being nothing behind the door. But what's right. going through your mind at that point as a child?
The same sort of thing. I was scared because I couldn't see where it was. I didn't know what was happening. But it didn't play on my mind. It was like a couple of hours later, I pretty much forgot about it. So I'm just thinking that there may have been more stuff that's gone on that I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about is, you know, because they weren't registering as paranormal or something really strange. It was just because it's that point of life. You're still learning things, and things that are new experiences are kind of registering as, oh, well, this must happen sometimes, you know, until you realize, no, it really shouldn't be happening sometimes.
Yeah, but it was at the point as I was getting older that this kind of stuff was just normal for me.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can explain it. I know when people say they've had a lot of experiences, a lot of people don't believe them. It's like, how can someone have all these different experiences and nothing happened to them?
Yeah.
Yet somebody else, like my partner, she's never had anything happen to her.
Was there anything else in childhood that stood out to you where you were still kind of in that mindset of, oh, okay. You know, but before you recognized it as something paranormal or ghostly?
I'd always be into ghosts. We'd read, we'd get the magazine Unexplained Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lad that lived two doors away from us, and he was a couple of years older than me and my brother. Brother's 3 years older than me, but he had older brothers, so they was always into that sort of stuff anyway. So when we went round to his house, or he'd come round, he'd have like all these ghost stories. And we'd watch Arthur C. Clarke TV series when that was showing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so, I suppose, obsessed by all this. I didn't see it as being, it wasn't normal.
Mm-hmm.
it was just something that went on. And some people got to see it, others didn't. I suppose that's the only way I can look at it.
So what was the moment? Did you have a moment where, you know, you started to kind of go, oh, this is paranormal, like while you're having the experience, where it wasn't just, you know, kind of being written off into your subconscious of, you know, not being more than it really was?
I'd say the next one that sticks in my mind was I was about 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
So it was during main school holidays, like during the summer, and we'd gone out. We'd all meet up at this big park. There's a running track on there, bowling, there's a river. There's all different things to do. But we used to hang about under this bridge. Anyway, one day, we'd gone, there's three of us. There's me, one of my other cousins, and a friend that we knew. And we'd gone standing underneath it. So from the road, you have to walk down a dirt track, go over the bridge, cut down the side of some bushes and the wall, and then there's a little tiny ledge, probably about 6-7 inches wide. So you stood on it and your toes were hanging over the edge. Then there's a bit of a drop. There's some like gravelly, looked like dirty sand. Then you had the river. I'd say the river was about 7-8 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the other side, it was all brambles and thicket. There's no way anyone could get on that other side, and there's no ledge. That was just a straight wall straight to the bottom. Then you had all this bush there. So anyway, the three of us were under this bridge one day, and it started getting dark. I looked over, and I just seen the shape. All I describe it as was a shape. It looked like a monk. So it was like a grey off-white colour. It's like it was illuminated, but it wasn't a bright light that was coming out of it. So I could see the head, then it went into the shoulders, and the arms dropping down by its side, and then the waist and going down to the legs. But I couldn't see the feet because of all the bushes. I forced my way past them two, out from under the bridge, round to the top, over the bridge, and up onto the main road before the other two got from under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That was how fast I met, and that was when this isn't normal.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I'd seen like a body apparition.
Yeah.
And that really freaked me out. I didn't go, well, we kind of went back the next day. I didn't go under, but we could like look round and under to see if there's anything there. There's any way anyone could stand there. There's a little bit of graffiti on the wall, and that was it. There's no way anyone could be stood there. So I didn't go under there I don't think I went under there ever again, to be honest with you.
Now, the person that you were with, did they see it as well?
Yeah, they both did.
Okay.
Because did you see it? Like, yeah. We couldn't believe how fast you moved.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe how fast I moved. I wasn't hanging about, I was going.
Have you ever had a chance to do any research on that location in later years to connect some dots?
I probably have done. I've just never thought about doing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I moved, like I said, I moved away. So I'm like nearly 200 miles away from where I grew up.
Sure.
So I still got our family in that up there. So I do go back from time to time, but I never felt that I needed to. But it's one of them. If whenever I experience something, I just accept it, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I've seen. I know what I've experienced. I suppose I could do the research, but then would I want to really find out what's gone on there? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of a personal question for you. And it's not like to do the research, I would say, in a matter of, you know, confirming that you had this experience. I think you operate on the level of you had this experience, you accept that, you don't think you're crazy. It's just, it is what it is. It happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that's the question of, well, do you want to know the backstory as to maybe why that thing is there? That would be the reason I would do some digging.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And it's like, but do I want to know? You know what I mean? I suppose I would like to know if other people have encountered it, mm-hmm, and it wasn't just us three. That might actually have to go onto my to-do list, to be honest with you now. I never, ever thought of doing any research into it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you may be surprised what you find, and sometimes you do your digging and there's, you know, next to nothing out there.
Yeah.
out there. And that's kind of the interesting thing with obviously this area is sometimes you'll find some very interesting things. Others, it's, you know, good luck. So you saw this thing, you had this experience, someone else was there to also confirm, yeah, this, we saw this.
Yeah.
Would you call it like a life-changing moment? Was it, or at least a perspective-changing moment, having that moment of experiencing that full-bodied apparition?
Yeah, because then that was a point where I knew that I don't like using the word ghost, but I can always explain that again. But that was confirming that ghosts do exist and that they are real and people do see them. That was my confirmation on that.
So you got that experience, you got that confirmation. Where did that lead you?
Well, there was all sorts. I've seen shadow people. I've seen other full body apparitions. I've heard kids, like, I'm talking like 4, 5, 6 year olds
mm-hmm.
running around outside a house where there's a busy main road at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, there is a bit of a backstory to this one.
Okay.
So do you want me to hit you with this one?
Yes, let's hear it.
Right. So it was my brother's girlfriend, who they're now married. There was a party at their parents' house. Now, this was a detached house, and the road down the side was a private road, which led down to a cemetery and a crematorium. But going down, it's St. Mary's Cemetery, but going down this track, there's a monastery where there are monks that still live there. I think, is it the Ordain? The Ordain of Salford or Manchester,
okay.
Which is like the head monk, he still lives there. And apparently there's a screaming skull in there, and if it's moved off the shelf, it screams and screams until you put it back. And that's not even 200 yards away from where this house is. So this house is on the corner, so you've got the main road, the A6, which is a busy, busy main road. And then there's 4 bridges at the side where you've got the motorways that go over, and either side of where the bridges are main intersections. That's how busy this area is. So you go into the house at the front, so you've got a big reception area. If you go around to the right, you've got stairs going up. Carry on through, you go into the living area. Then there's like a summer room at the back. Keep going round anti-clockwise. We'll take it into the kitchen, then back into the hallway. So you could walk round and round and round in the same direction or whatever. You don't have to like backtrack on yourself to go into another room.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've been at this party and I was going to go back home. Brother said, no, it's fine. Because I'd have to go back to pick my car up the next day. So he said, it's right, stay here. His missus will sleep upstairs. He goes, we'll sleep on the sofa. You have one, I'll have one. I go, save you messing about tomorrow. And you can just, when you feel all right, just drive back home. So, right, okay. So, well, I've fallen asleep on the sofa. I'd had a few drinks again. And I hear laughing and giggling. I'm like, no, I must have been dreaming that. And then it started again. But you could hear kids running around and laughing. So like a kindergarten, as though you're walking past school or something, and you can hear kids running around laughing and playing. It was that. So this is like 3, 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So I woke my brother up and go, I said, please tell me you can hear that. He goes, yeah. He goes, don't worry. You get used to it. It happens all the time. You've got to be having a laugh. I swore I won't repeat what I said.
No, you can swear. You can say whatever you want here. There's no limits. Like, don't worry.
I was like, fuck off. He goes, no, don't tell me that. I'm going to have to go home. He goes, it's fine, Andy. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. He goes, I can't stay here. That's too much. And what it was, I found out a couple of days after, is, like I said, my sister-in-law's parents, it was their house. the house was used as a storage point from people being buried down at the cemetery. Now, they had a basement, but they had it filled in with concrete. So where the door was, you'd open the door and it's just solid. You couldn't get that. It was just cement was poured in and it was completely blocked up.
So
but that was used for years as a storage point, chapel to people being buried and...
Yeah, I'm familiar with those sort of things. There was one near my parents' house in a cemetery, and I like to visit it whenever I go there in Wisconsin. They call it the receiving vault, and it's where they stored bodies in winter specifically, but when they couldn't dig into the ground until it was thawed. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So just so I understand this specific structure, the concrete's poured in. Did they literally like fill it in like a pool, like with water? You know, like they filled it in with concrete, so it's all just solid concrete now.
From what they told me, yeah. Because you open the door and it's just solid. There's no way of, without demolishing the house or drilling into it, there's no way of doing that. But the thing is, where they live, so there is a residential area. But there are busy roads. As I said, you've got the motorways that go across the top. Down the side, it is a quiet lane. So a lot of the houses leading down there are elderly, retired people. And I'd say there's only 6-7 houses down there before you hit the grounds of the cemetery. And there's no way there'd be kids playing about. You wouldn't even hear kids playing about during the day in that area, let alone stupid o'clock in the morning.
No. I mean, not... There's
that was scary.
it's interesting when we're talking about structures like that, where it's a place... This is just going to be kind of an opinion-based question. But we're talking about locations where... You know, the living, other than people like us, don't spend a lot of time in cemeteries. The average human being, not there too much.
No.
People who are interested, it's like a park. So when you have something like that, we think of ghosts or spirits lingering in areas often where they inhabited, the places they loved, the places they wanted to be, the places that they lived their life. So the fact that there was this place where basically bodies were stored temporarily and then they were eventually buried. Why is it, do you think, that locations like that still do seem to hold, you know, quite a bit of energy or the spirits of these people, especially kids? The kids were probably never really playing, you know, necessarily in that exact area, you're hearing them, you're seeing these, having these experiences.
Yeah, it's that's one thing that's puzzled me, because unless there is some sort of big tragedy that went on with a lot of children, I wouldn't know how these kids would be interacting with each other. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. I guess...
Go on.
I was gonna say, I guess it's kind of a question somewhat of... is it a thing where some decide to stay close to their physical body after passing?
Possibly. And it's like, if in the spirit world you are able to interact with other spirits, if they've met and suppose got on with each other, then they're going to carry on doing what they would have been doing if they were still alive.
Sure. In your years of experience, other than that one, because when you hear the kids playing together, that's some evidence that there's some interaction going on. Have you had other experiences where it would point to the possibility that, you know, ghost A is interacting with ghost B over there?
Not really. I've not had any experiences like that.
No.
So I'm just trying to think. No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Other than the kids.
Other than the kids.
Yeah.
And I'd say there was at least four of them, boys and girls.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Andy. In part two, why do spirits seem to inhabit areas that may have never been an area they spent much time in life? What haunting experiences did Andy have while investigating a cemetery in Northampton? What is Andy's goal when investigating the dead? And has there been times where Andy has seen a spirit while others in his group have not? All that and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. Your support gets you access to part two of all of our interviews, hundreds of them to binge away on, as well as all of our episodes being commercial free. So if you love the show, you like binging, no ads, there you go. Patreon.com/thegravetalks or download the Patreon app and search The Grave Talks. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.